It's time for the Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. The views expressed of the Financial Cafe are those of the hosts and do not represent the views of Southern Illinois University Edwardsville, the SIU Board of Trustees, or WSIE Radio. Securities offered through Nickel Investors Corporation at No. 1 Executive Park, Granite City, Illinois, member FINRA and SIPC.
If I had a million dollars,
if I had a million dollars,
if I had a million dollars,
I'd be rich.
And now, welcome to the Financial Cafe and our hosts, Larry Lexo and John Graney.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Larry. How are we today?
It's a beautiful Saturday morning.
I'm fired up, Larry.
You are?
I am. I've had way too much coffee, enough coffee to kill an elephant here. Today's topic has me fired up.
Yeah, and what is today's topic, John?
Today's topic is state-run retirement plans. Folks, they're coming for our money, and I mean that literally. I wrote a blog about this a few months back, and the DOL let me down because they have now made it easier for states to offer these retirement plans. Given how fired up I am, Larry, you better have the finger on the mute button.
I've got it right here. Ready to go.
So I'm tired. I'm angry. I'm jacked up on coffee. Sit back, relax. Keep your finger on the mute button. I had a client actually ask me the other day, and it got me thinking about some things before we get into this. This is one of those topics that I'm going to be very outspoken on. It's one of those ones that hit close to home. I think a lot of our listeners here would agree that there may be a charity or something that they got involved in because someone close to them, someone close to home, was affected by a given issue, ailment, or whatever it may be, so they get involved with it. Well, Larry and I provide retirement plan services to companies, individuals, and so forth. So this is our career. This is our livelihood. And now the states are coming in and they're going to be offering retirement plans. And we were with a client yesterday and he asked me if I ever change my opinion to suit the radio show or my audience. And I thought about that and I said, you know, thinking to myself, and I talked to Larry this morning before we came into the studio, I don't, but I do have to change how the verbiage I use, the words that I say, how I say things. So when I thought about this topic, state-run retirement plans, the two acronyms that came to mind for me are SNAFU and FUBAR. Now, Larry, I'm sure you're familiar with what they mean.
Oh, no, not at all.
Not at all. Okay. Well, to modify that, I came up with a couple new acronyms. I came up with SNAMU, which is situation normal, all messed up, and MUBAR, messed up beyond all recognition. What do you think?
I think it's perfect, John.
I know we're not the Howard Stern show, so I had to clean it up a little bit. So for our client, and hopefully he's listening today, that I do not change my opinions. But however, I do have to change the verbiage and so forth.
SNAMU and MUBAR, I think that could be added to the dictionary next year.
I'll take it.
We'll contact Webster and talk to them about that. Do they even still do a dictionary? Anyway.
Well, they do, but it's online now. You can get an app for that.
I got an app.
Okay. Well, actually, Rich White, and he writes for Benefits Pro, he said it best when describing state-sponsored retirement plans. He says, it won't work very well for plan participants, employers, the financial industry, advisors, or taxpayers. However, it's a potential gold mine for the U.S. government. Folks, they're coming for our money.
So what's new, right?
But they're I need a big soapbox today, Larry.
Sit back, John. Sit back. I'm going to take it from here for just a moment.
Let me catch my breath.
Yeah, catch your breath. Have some coffee. So what are state-run retirement plans? Well, they're programs designed to provide employees of firms and employers that meet certain criteria as a way to save for retirement. Sounds great, but why wouldn't we want to do this? Not to mention the fact that we already can do that privately, but, you know, nevertheless.
Don't let the facts ruin a narrative.
Yes, yes. Folks, there are five words we never, ever, under any circumstance, want to hear from the government. We are here to help.
Exactly.
Right now, there are about 15 states that have legislation on the desk to create these disasters, and a handful have already adopted them. In the private sector, the employer can offer a 401k, a SEP, a simple, a 403b, and many other ways we have to help employers save and prepare for retirement. This is what we do for a living. We help companies provide these platforms to help employers and employees prepare for retirement. And guess what? We actually talk to the participants. We actually give advice. We are fiduciaries. We are investment advisor representatives, unlike many broker-dealers and others in the industry who do not provide fiduciary advice. In fact, based on most data out there, about 80% of the workforce has one of these types of plans available to them. Now, I'm not saying the system is perfect. Nothing is perfect. It's regulated to the max. There's some new regulation that makes it even more difficult for us to do what we do. And in many ways, as with most government intervention, it does the exact opposite as what was intended or sold to us, the voters and taxpayers. Second, we are human. We're not perfect. John, are you perfect?
Yes, and I'm not going to die.
Yeah, okay. That was another show, wasn't it?
Several.
Yeah, okay. So there have been a few bad apples that have been, shall we say, self-serving and have tarnished the entire industry as a whole. But the majority of advisors are out there in this business because they care, because we want to make a living helping others. The government has jumped on this negativity and exploited it in another way to make more power grabs, as they do all the time. So before I go down this path, I'll leave my folks I'll leave my soapbox now for a moment. I'm getting excited too, John.
I'm telling you, this is easy to get worked up over.
On the government, because they want to regulate not only us out of business, but most participants are doing such a good job saving on their own that now it's only going to get worse.
Folks, I could probably take a week worth of shows to go through this disaster that we're going to be talking about. This will definitely be a two-episode topic. But for Larry, we realize we do have a retirement issue in this country. It has nothing to do with these platforms, the 401k, the SEPs, the simples, and so forth. The government regulation of what we do is certainly an issue. Low earnings, high taxes, not good job opportunities. You know, a lot of people don't have the means to put money away to save for retirement. But we also have a bit of a lack of personal responsibility. It's gotten worse. I mean, look, what do we have for examples? We have the government, who has a huge amount of debt, whether it's the state or federal. We have people living beyond their means. We have a lot of personal debt that's out there. This is all part of what is factoring in to our retirement crisis. It has nothing to do with the plans and the investment options and, you know, what the majority of advisors are doing for their participants. But because of a couple bad apples, because of a couple situations, the government is jumping on this opportunity. They're trying to make more of a power grab, more of a money grab, and they're going to take over the retirement system. That is the end goal here. And I'm you cannot talk me out of it. And hopefully by the time we get through talking about this topic, you will feel the same way too, and we can do something about it, because it does not benefit anybody other than the government. So we are in a situation where most of us are not ready for retirement. And here comes the government with those words, "We are here to help." Ask the people from Katrina, ask the people from Sandy. The government does not help. They just make matters worse. But before we completely blame it on the government, we need to take a look in the mirror and look at our own situation and say, have I done everything that I can personally to make sure that I'm saving for retirement? Larry and I talked last week about not smoking. If you're a smoker, there's a way that you can put some money away. If you eat lunch out every day, just do it 2 days a week as opposed to all five. There's another way that we can save some money for retirement. Now, California is really the first one to jump on this. And they kind of lead in a lot of government programs that come up. California kind of leads the way, and then everyone else follows. However, the state of Illinois actually was the first one to implement, but California came up with the model. Secure Choice, and I can't help but laugh when I say the name of this program. Secure Choice is the name of the program. It is in Illinois and a couple of the other states as well. I think the government does this intentionally, Larry. I think they name programs in an oxymoron fashion. I mean, this program is anything but secure, and it's not a choice. So Social Security, I can't even say it the right way. Social Security.
Calm down, John.
Oh, whew, more coffee. Social Security is a program. I call it social insecurity. The Affordable Care Act should be the Unaffordable Care Act. You know, just take a couple prefixes and we can take these program names and say them for what they really do. You know, kind of like jumbo shrimp. It's an oxymoron. It just makes me scratch my head as I, you know, think about these names. So why is Secure Choice a classic oxymoron? They're mandatory. It's a mandatory participation. If your company meets a certain couple criteria as far as number of employees, and if you don't offer a private provided 401k plan, you have to be in the Secure Choice. And I emphasize choice there. It's not a choice. If you don't, there are some pretty steep penalties, and Larry will talk about these in a little bit. So please bear with me. For the rest of the show, I have to call this the Insecure Choice Program. That's just going to be my little buzzword when I talk about this. I cannot in good conscience call it Secure Choice to our listeners and my partner sitting across from me here.
Well, you know, John, there's so many programs that have been implemented by the states and on the federal level. And obviously, you're well aware, as I am, that most of them work really well, right?
They do. They do. Actually, you know, I have a couple here. I have three different organizations. They did a little write-up here called, and NAIFA is one of them. It's the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors. They worked with the National African American Insurance Association. And they also worked with Women in Insurance and Financial Services. And this is their position on it. They understand that the importance of retirement security and acknowledge that many Americans are not saving enough for retirement. However, we do not believe that a state-run plan that competes with the private market is the answer. Availability and access to retirement savings options is not the problem. There already exists a strong, vibrant private sector retirement plan market that offers diverse, affordable options to individuals and employers. As Larry mentioned, nearly 80% of the full-time, they didn't have, as Larry mentioned in the article, I was just reiterating there, but nearly 80% of full-time workers have access to a retirement plan through their employer. More than 80% of workers in workplace access to plans participate in that plan. They believe states would be better served by using scarce state resources for education outreach efforts designed to educate their citizens about the importance of savings for retirement, I agree, rather than implementing their own costly state-run plans. They support the voluntary, private market-oriented legislation enacted in Washington State and New Jersey, and those two states enacted a program that directs the company to the private market for these services, because this is what we do for a living.
Sounds like a much better solution to me, John. I, as you know, I've been doing this 20-plus years in the marketplace, working with employers, working with employers and helping them to solve retirement issues. And we talk about it, and probably the biggest buzzword that's out there today, retirement readiness. I was at an employer located in the area last week, and sitting down one-on-one with a number of the employees, I had a young lady, probably in her mid-20s, I didn't ask, who had mentioned to me that she needed help.
Polite.
Because I'm always polite, John. Because she is obviously young. She's just starting out. She has a little bit of money put away for retirement. But as she indicated, you know, that's 30 years from now, 35 years from now. In her case, maybe 40 years from now before she is going to need it. But she has no idea. She knew nothing about investments. She knew nothing about retirement plans. She knew nothing about the tax saving that can be assigned to that, can be work with you. So there are thousands, actually tens of millions of people out there who need help. They need an advisor. They need somebody to sit down that they can know and that they can trust and is working in their best interest, back to the fiduciary standard, you know, someone who's working in their best interest to help them reach their goals, their dreams, their objectives. And that's what we do. And if you apply to a state-mandated program, they have no advisors. They have nobody out there to counsel or to accept input or to respond to questions that somebody is going to have essentially about their future. So, well, we'll take a step forward. And, you know, there are essentially three types of plans that are out there. So we're going to talk a little bit about them. The three types that currently are there are obviously marketplace plans, which are the offerings that connect eligible employers and private sector providers. That would be the place where the marketplace, where we work, the good one, let's put it that. You know, it's like the good place, right?
Exactly.
Where marketplace plans exist.
The happy place.
The happy place, right. Auto IRA, whereby employees have contribution amounts deducted from paychecks and remitted directly to a state-administered IRA. That just scares me to death. Putting those words together, state-administered IRA.
Catastrophe.
And then there is a prototype where eligible employer adopts a plan designed and administered by the state. That's even worse. So we basically have three types of plans, and in looking at some of the issues we found with those, that there's basically five problems with state-run 401ks. I think they didn't try hard enough. There are more than five reasons that...
These are headlines that we found talking about different opinions on state-run plans. We pulled some of the articles that we just quickly did a quick search on this topic, and some of them were funny. You know, like Larry was just saying, the five problems with state-run 401k proposal. And we looked at each other and said, they didn't try hard enough. There's more than five reasons. There's the employer group critical of state-run IRAs, reasons to be wary of state-run retirement plans. California state-run retirement plan has deep flaws, secure choice for whose benefit. The real threat, state-run plans. So the list goes on and on with these articles that are out there and the different associations and so forth that are not in support of state-run retirement plans. Why don't we like these plans? Well, we'll get to that in a second. But before we do that, as I mentioned, the piece that I just read from NAFA and so forth, they did a much better job than I did with my tried humor with SNAMU and MUBAR. But these are some issues that Larry and I have. This is a Larry and John opinion of the catastrophes in waiting with state-run retirement plans. As I wrote in my blog back in April on this, it's mandatory. And anything that's mandatory isn't going to be good. If it was so good, it wouldn't have to be mandatory. But they're forcing it on us, and there's reasons why. We'll get into that. They're forcing the withholding to be at 3%. So essentially, the employer is going to be required to take 3% out of the paycheck, put it into one of these insecure choice programs of whatever state you're in. Well, what happens if the employee can't afford to do 3%? Yeah, they can opt out, but then that means they have to go through and figure out the paperwork. And believe me, paperwork when it comes to government is a nightmare. Everything's in quadruplet, triplet, and it's just a joke. State by state, each state's going to have its own plan, its own set of rules, own design. If you think about that for a second, just think about it. That's how the insurance industry was set up, Larry. The insurance was state by state, and then the Affordable Care Act came along and said, nope, we're going to make this federal because, well, the state by state isn't working. Now they're going to do the exact opposite, and it's going to work. I'm not sure I really understand that.
Yeah, and ERISA doesn't apply to these plans. So some of the mandates that were in the write-up, the implementation.
ERISA doesn't apply?
Of the plans, yeah. Well, you know, ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act.
Yeah, I know what ERISA is. I mean, that's the governing body for retirement plans.
Which governs all retirement plans.
That's the government.
Country. It is a government that is overseeing how they're run, how they're set up, and that they are legally operated. And all of these state-run programs are exempt.
Really?
Really.
How convenient.
Yeah, isn't it?
Isn't that special?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, the legislators who aren't under the health care plan, Affordable Care Act. They are actually under their own plan, which, of course, is much, much better. The California legislature signed their plan into law last year, but they indicated it will not be implemented unless the plan is expected to be self-sustaining and exempt from federal rules that cover private sector defined benefit plans. So it sounds like...
So they were going to take their ball and go home if they didn't get that exemption.
They're going to take the ball and they're going to go home if they didn't get the exemption.
So they wrote regulations in 1974, since that's part of the name, ERISA Act of 1974, that we have to adhere to in the private side to protect the individuals. Then in April of this year, they came out and put some bigger teeth into that with the fiduciary rules with ERISA. Then August, they come out with these plans. They start enacting these state-run plans, but they don't have to listen to themselves.
That's right, John. ERISA won't apply to these plans. In fact, all those rules and regulations that apply to hardworking advisors across the country and right here in the studio, for example.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Don't apply to them.
Huh.
California, through that Securities Industry and Financial Markets Association, was quoted they are exempt from ERISA. And I guess we have to give them credit. They didn't do it under smoke and mirrors or tell us that we have to pass it to find out what's in it. Now that it's passed, we have to read the bill so we can see what's in it. I won't remind everybody who said that. This shouldn't come as a surprise. I mean, our elected officials are not getting their health care from the Affordable Care Act.
They're not.
So why would we expect them to manage our money and takes away from the same rules as the rest of us are held to? That would be silly. So if there is no ERISA, there is no recourse.
True.
For the individual should something go wrong. So now we can trust to the government to manage the money. They are known for strictly balancing the budgets, as we're aware.
California is over $800 billion in debt.
Is that all? Mm-hmm. Well, what's a billion, give or take?
Well, given to the federal, which is trillions, and we'll get into that later. I mean, why even have a budget?
Well, yeah, why even have a budget? I have a budget, John. Do you have a budget?
I have a budget.
I guess I have a hard time.
And for the other guys out there, if you're married, you know you have a budget.
Yeah, whether you know what it is or not, but that's, you know, a different question. I have a hard time imagining how any business or personal situation can be operated effectively, efficiently, and harmoniously without a budget. How do you know what you can spend if you don't know what you have coming in, and the government continues to spend much, much, much more than they have coming in?
And that makes me think of an article I was reading. As most states are, California is jacking up their rates for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act. It would be even worse in California, but they got over $1 billion. We only have 8 minutes left. That fast already?
Time flies.
They got over $1 billion from the federal government. They blew through that with administrative costs and so forth, and they still have to jack up rates. There are two simple reasons why a government program doesn't work. It's very simple. I'm a big proponent of the KISS approach to things. One, they will always overestimate the good stuff when they do their budgeting, so that everything has to be absolutely perfect. In the Affordable Care Act, all these young people were going to sign up for it.
So much for that thought.
So that's the first reason. The second reason, it always happens in the exact opposite way. The younger people decided, I'll pay the penalty, or I just won't pay the penalty, but I'm not signing up for health care. So all of us older folks, and Larry being older than older, we get stuck with the bill. And we can't pay it. The insurance companies aren't picking it up. They're bailing out of different states. So the Affordable Care Act is anything but affordable. And it's not. It's another government program that isn't working.
Yeah. Don't get me started on that tangent, John. You know, I was quite happy with the insurance coverage we had with one of the major carriers prior to the Affordable Care Act. And since then, my rates have doubled and my coverage is less than half of what it was before. And soon, you know, we're being told now that most of those programs are running a deficit because not enough people did sign up to pay premiums, that we're looking at maybe a 20, 30, 40% increase again next year. I just don't know where people are going to come up with the extra money. They can't afford to put it away for retirement, and now they can't afford to pay for their health.
You know what I just realized as I took a sip of my coffee? Been so worked up on this issue. We haven't talked about our sponsor.
I know.
Shame on us.
Chef Shop. Our folks over located in Edwardsville in the Snooks Plaza next to Target. Chef Shop is phone number 659-9840, and you can email them at the Chef Shop at prodigy.net, chefs.shoppe@prodigy.net. And today we have a coffee called Sumatra.
We do.
What does that bring to mind, John?
Africa.
Africa, there you go. It's a full-bodied coffee with a fruity and earthy undertones. I think I mentioned that when I first tried it. It's a little earthy undertone. Intense flavor, full body, light acidity, and rich aroma. Well, John, you know what I'm going to say, since I tend to like the flavored coffees a little more
frou-frou,
whatever you want to call it, than the real coffee, a man's coffee like John likes to drink.
Mm-hmm. So,
this is not my favorite, but
I concur.
I can drink it, obviously, but I would much prefer one of the other 10 coffees we've reviewed up to this point. But, you know, to each their own. We got to give our honest opinion.
Well spoken.
Thank you.
So how much time we have left now?
We
have a whole lot more material to go through.
4 minutes and counting.
4 minutes. All right, we'll do... Let's see, where was I? Okay, so we're going to go back to California again. We're going to talk about their public retirement system. So for the public employees, their own employees that work for the public system. There is a scandal going on in their program right now because
they wouldn't have a scandal in California.
But wait till you hear this one, because I wish we could get paid this much.
I'm signing up.
They paid an advisor a 20% fee.
You said 20, right?
20.
20? Yeah.
Not 0.2, not 0.02, 20 point.
Gee, I wonder who negotiated that deal.
Oh, it was probably the politicians that had a friend that did this and that, and, you know, well, they're on the board and blah, 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 blah. So, now, my fellow Illinoisans, you may be saying to yourself, well, that's California. That's not going to happen here in Illinois. Illinois is such a close second to California right now, and those of us in southern Illinois realize that. Let's see. Here, do this. Go to your computer. Turn it on. That always helps. Go whatever search engine you like. It doesn't matter. Type in Illinois pension problems. You should get about 520,000 hits.
That's all? Just 520,000? Half a million.
If you still don't believe me, I have an article that we'll talk about in the next show, but the 10 worst pension plans and how underfunded they are. And this research was provided by Pew Research. Folks, our government was held to the same standards that we are. They'd be in jail, period.
And in some cases, probably should be.
And some of them already are. We know in Illinois. Yes, but we will talk about that article. We will get into the fee discussion, the investment discussion on the next show. I'll still be worked up, I promise, because this is close to my heart, close to Larry's heart. It's our career, our families are, you know, this is just something that we cannot let happen.
I'm going to touch on one item since we have a couple of minutes left, and this is from a blog by Jason Grants. You can look it up on the website if you want, but just touching on Illinois. Illinois was the first state to actually enact a state-run retirement program. It is an auto IRA required program, even though it's choice, right? Choice required.
Don't get me started.
Any company, any employer who has 25 or more employees and has been in business at least 2 years has to enroll their employees in the state-run plan.
They have a choice.
They have a choice, but they have to enroll them. And as of the posting of this blog, which actually was earlier this year in April, the state had not even issued requests for proposal, or as we say, RFPs, for record keeping. They don't even know where the investments are going to be. Yet come next June of 2017.
Oh, they know where they're going to be.
Yeah, it's probably.
And we'll get into that next time.
We will talk about where it's going to be next time. That's for sure. The opinions on this show, I better add that one. Even though Steve Jankowski already touched on it, the opinions on this show are those of John Graney. Write that name down, John Graney.
Graney.
And Larry Lexo, and not shared necessarily by WSIE, Southern Illinois University Board of Trustees, or anyone else
probably.
But that's okay. At least you know where we stand.
Yes, we will say it like it is. in a politically correct way.
Go to the Chef Shop. Have wonderful coffee. Today's wasn't my favorite, but I'm just being honest. But they have a lot of great coffees that we've reviewed over the past. Both Nancy and the folks there are waiting to serve you. It's a wonderful place to visit, and I guarantee you we'll come out with something, whether it's the fudge, the popcorn, or the coffee. Or
the wall of candy.
In our case, all three of the above. Thank you to WSIE for bringing us on and letting us stay. We've got 11 or so shows done now, and we'll be coming back next time to talk about the second edition. Yeah, hopefully. A second edition of State Run Retirement Plans. Have a great day, folks.
Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to The Financial Cafe, airing every Saturday at 9 a.m. on 88.7 WSIE The Sound. Today's show is underwritten by The Chef Shop in Edwardsville, your hometown kitchen accessory store, where a good cup of coffee starts every day right. Listeners are invited to send your questions regarding retirement, investments, or any other financial topic that may pique your interest. Send the questions to John at jgraney@nickelfinancial.com or to Larry at lexo@nickelfinancial.com. John and Larry will discuss those questions each week during their Q&A session. If you prefer, they will respond to you in private. Thanks for listening to the Financial Cafe on 88.7 WSIE The Sound.